Okay, I call this meeting to order. Thank you all and good evening to all of you at this November 19th Board of Trustees Finance Committee meeting. The first thing on our agenda is to adopt the agenda, and I have been made aware of no changes. So we'd be looking for a motion.
Adopt the agenda, Madam Chair.
There's a first, is there a second?
I'll second it.
And a second. Any other discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Thank you. Item number three, the approval of the minutes in your packet.
Dan, you can come and sit next to Don. He doesn't need to sit way back in the corner.
You can come to the table unless you really want to just be on your own and have quiet time. We'll try to be quiet.
That's more than one after the meeting.
So I'd be open to a motion to approve
So moved.
The minutes. There is a first and a second. Got it? Jeff Potter and Kirchner?
Kircher.
Kircher, either way. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Third quarter financial report, item number four in your packet. I'll turn this over to Aaron Murphy.
Good evening. So the third quarter financial report doesn't have anything surprising in it to me. The surplus that we were looking at before was around $328,000, combining revenue and expenditures. And I did a quick calculation after October, and it didn't vary much. I think it was like $5,000 higher due to some expenditures that I didn't anticipate, or that probably will be spent in November or December bills. So as far as the way it's sitting right now, the operating fund's sitting at 72.27, where it should be sitting around 75, so it's not too far off. Nothing spectacular really to mention in here other than what I've provided in the projections back in September.
Okay, are there any questions?
Just one, Madam Chair. Aaron said there's no surprises. Do we ever have surprises in some of our...
No.
Okay.
It's pretty much the same budget every year, just different numbers.
I don't know that I remember any big surprises. And so, okay. The fire was a surprise.
Well, the fire.
Surprises usually make the media before.
Yeah, right. You're absolutely right.
The board knows about it.
Otherwise, they wouldn't be surprises.
Well, most counties are paid up to 75% at this time. Some are at 100. But at this moment, they are all paid up for their fourth quarter 2019 contributions. RLBSS came in $1,700 less than what was budgeted. So that's
pretty darn close.
Really good. Other than that, and as you can see too, we've added a few more certificates of deposit as a couple have matured. And I also did put that in my management report if you like to take a look at that. Rates are at 1.8 on here, but as of October they dropped to 1.6.
Yeah. Anticipated.
Yes. But they've been holding steady around there for the last five or six CDs that I've purchased, so.
Okay, thanks for that.
You're welcome.
We need to act on this, so I'd be open to a motion.
I will.
There's been a motion by Mr. Bertram. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Pop. Any other conversation? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion has carried. Thanks, Aaron.
You're welcome.
Moving on to agenda item number five. In your packet, the Great River Regional's 2019 budget surplus funds as 2021 budget revenue.
I'll start off here. Basically, at the last few meetings, it's been discussed to use surplus funds to supplant future operating budgets. Karen and I actually had a conversation about this and decided that $100,000 seemed like a very fair and easy number to work with going forward. So this this request is requesting $100,000 of 2019 operating budget surplus to supplant revenue for the 2021 budget.
The only thing I would add is when we looked at historical trends with the budget, the 1 year where we got close to running to zero was the year the state delayed aid to schools because we're on the same payment schedule. And so we were actually at one point holding all legacy programs and a number of other items because the state decided not to pay us on time. And so that's not something we can ever control. And that's where we came up with this figure, because in that year, we probably would have overspent the budget with this figure. But not every year looks like that. Most of the time we're running surpluses. So we would expect that to continue.
Madam Chair, did we set a limit on this?
We did not receive any guidance from the board, so we came up with our best guess based on historical figures.
I guess what I'm a little fearful of is other county board members watching us do this, and then some 1 year we're going to ask for some more money, so they're going to say, well, why aren't you using your fund balances as you did before? So I'm just a little skeptical. I mean, I don't mind doing it once in a while, but are we going to get into a pattern here?
It will set us up where we'll have to make this a consistent revenue stream. We built this on the direction of the Finance Committee from previous meetings. It assumes we will always have a surplus.
Well, you know, you look at it, we have enough a surplus to go around for quite some time that, you know, we can dig into the surplus pretty substantially before we're going to be in trouble. And as far as your state funding, we just heard at MICA on Wednesday that the state is projecting that they're going to be about 4.7% more income than they anticipated by the end of the year. So there will be a surplus at the state, too.
So by me, Madam Chair, what is our surplus requirements? 3-4 months? What is it?
The policy says 3 to 6.
3 to 6.
And we're just over 6 right now.
And again, I don't know. Agree or disagree, yeah, that surplus, you know, we always say, well, what happens a rainy day or whatever? Well, you know, then you deal with it at the time, you know what I'm saying? So if you have to raise our projection for our budget, then we do it at time. But I think we're getting way too much
surplus, yep, in my book. Yep,
correct. And that's what we had talked about before, Madam Chair, with the Finance Committee. And this is investment income was more, and we thought revenues were more expenses because of the turnover or whatever. This is one of those, hopefully it's not every year we can adjust the budgets to get them a little tighter, but we have enough in a surplus over the 6 months where we can do this pretty easy,
right,
without having.
And Madam Chair, I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying we set a precedent then, and right, then here we are.
Mm-hmm. Well, from my board, if we continue to grow this surplus, we're going to have troubles in Benton County.
Yeah, and
they are not going to put up with this.
Yeah, and
you know, we go past 4 or 5 months, that's all they want to see. The rest of it should be, you know, relief.
Give it back to the taxpayer, yep, or do something.
It's, you know, taxpayer money. Yeah. Give it back to the taxpayers and worry about it down the road.
Other comments? Jeff?
Madam Chair, the $100,000 will be spread out then for percentage-wise to the 6 counties, or
how? What will happen is I'll insert a revenue line, and then when it comes time to balancing the budget, on the signatory side, it'll be adjusted through the formula. So,
okay, same thing. And Madam Chair, you know, obviously we're all involved with a lot of different budgets, personal and business and governmental. The best budgeting is to stay by the budget, because of course when you have surpluses, and I've been here long enough now to know that when we've had the surpluses, there's always been a tug to spend money on things that we didn't budget for. Mm-hmm. Well, part of the reason you have a budget is to stick to the budget, and we're doing some of that tonight. And I've always been a little hesitant of that, and I'm going to ask the question when we do it, what would we have done if we didn't have the budget surplus? You know, and God, balancing this budget, Aaron does a good job, and Karen, on doing that. However, we want it tight, and we want it dedicated, because whenever you don't do that, in my opinion, you leave that open to people saying, well, geez, there's $200,000. Let's dip into that. And I think you show credibility to your boards by saying, when we did have a surplus, we did take it back. Now we got a problem, we need to do something. So you do set a precedent, but both ways. You were responsible during the good times, and if you need something, well, then you'll have to be responsible in the bad times, I guess. So hopefully it sets a precedent
both ways. It
works
both ways in my book.
Lee?
You know, we've got the annual meeting coming up for Association of Minnesota Counties, and one of the things that happens there is we get a report from Magic Fund, and Magic Fund is a device, reminder for folks that might not know, it's a short-term reinvestment or investment of excess funds. It acts like a bank for counties. You could ask them if they have a provision for a credit line. And a credit line doesn't mean you automatically borrow money. It means that should something occur, they know enough about our financials that if we needed short-term funds, we could get them. And so if you want to pursue Ed's idea a little more aggressively, and you think that you'd still like to be covered on the downside should something happen, I can't think of what that might be. I mean, this building specifically has endured, you know, what, 60-day shutdowns? How long was that? But you get the idea. It would be there. And so let's ask them.
Any thoughts on that?
I can do that. Yeah. Sure. I'm not aware of a line of credit through Magic Fund, but I can ask
them. I'm not either, and I don't know if they have a provision for it, but geez, you know. Well, I mean, it would be something that maybe, well, what they do is they invest that money in low-risk stuff. And almost to the point of, risk aversion to the point of idiocy. And, I mean, they know how libraries are funded and so forth. And so as a result, we wouldn't be a secret to them. And if they wanted something about specific financial data from us, we'd know how to provide it to them. So let's inquire about that.
Will do.
Yep, Aaron, you've got your magic person, your contact person, if you want to.
No, and if you have to talk to them in person, you'll have to walk all the way to the convention center. Mm-hmm. You know, and that'll be in about 3 weeks.
She usually comes to me, so she stops by every now and again.
We have investments with Magic.
Oh, yeah.
So the library already does. So I think that's a great, just to explore that option possibly with them. So, okay, any other conversation? This is an action item, so I would be looking for a motion.
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Potter. We've got three people. It's like thank stereo. You. Yeah.
Second.
Mr. Okay, any other discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion has carried. Moving on, agenda item number 6. We have 4 items looking at designation requests. So let's start with number 1, 6.1 from Brandy.
Hello, everybody. I'm coming before you today to request $22,300 in designation for technology and equipment and collection for the new Kimball Library, which, as we've been talking to you about, they received a state grant. They're going to be going out for bids at the beginning of the year, hoping to break ground in May. And when they do break ground or open the new library next year, we will need some this additional equipment and technology. So any questions?
So questions for Brandy about the Kimball Library.
Yes, Madam Chair. So what if we don't approve the 22,000? What would happen?
Sure. So, for example, we would not have an express check machine. And that, I think you could say, would really create a hardship on staff. We do expect circulation to go up once we open the new library. There's already mostly single staffing, which means mostly one public service person on the desk at a time. And so it can get really tight. And those are exactly the kinds of situations where express checks really help us out, because it helps with that workflow. Otherwise, staff can't get off the desk in order to do the deeper customer service things that they need to do. The additional staff station, we will need that. So if we don't get it through a designation or something like that, it would be looking at our other libraries to see if there's a used one that we could essentially take from a place that's not getting as used as much. And I do want to point out that that is what we are planning to do with the catalog station. So we will need an additional, with the additional internet station. We are planning to have a second internet station in Kimball, and we will be taking that from an existing location now rather than purchasing new. The book carts, because Kimball's so tiny, we don't have enough if we go bigger. So $700, we could probably find a way to get that out of the budget.
Maybe Stearns County could, the county itself could probably pitch in a little money.
Yeah. And then the new book drop, we did get a quote. A new book drop that we'll need for Kimball is $3,925 or something like that. It's pretty expensive. The one they have now is both going to be undersized for what we'll need there. And I don't know what ran into it up on the sidewalk, but something ran into it up on the sidewalk, and so it doesn't close or lock correctly, and we've had water intrusion problems. So it really needs to be replaced. And yeah, in terms of what happens if we don't get the designation, I don't know where we get the $4,000 for that.
And you're just kind of looking at this $22,000 as a, I know you, we'd probably say that would be the, if we do approve it or deny it. The $22,000 is based on projections, maybe Jay's electrical or equipment, or how, is that kind of like what you would need? And
exactly.
That's what you're deciding on. Okay.
Exactly. I worked closely with Jay and Aaron and Jamie to come up with these numbers, basically looking at things like what is the amount of business we intend or expect to have. So what size of book drop do we need? What size of, the need for the express check, the need for the additional staff station, those kinds of things.
Okay, Mike?
Madam Chair, thank you. As far as the express checkout goes, Kimball qualifies for express checkout. There's some libraries that don't. This is one that does.
Yes.
Get a new library, and that's the beauty, like it or hate it, of having a surplus. You can get some of these things out of the way and done. Their new library is how many square feet bigger than the old one?
Twice. It's twice as big.
Twice as big.
At least, yeah. You know, it's
These are good to get them, these things done now, because at some point in time we'd have to do it anyway. And this way we don't have to interrupt operations and get these taken care of in this particular time frame. Again, nothing in here that I'm seeing just jumps out at me, oh my God, that's frivolous. These are, we're having a brand new library that, let's put good equipment in there. Mm-hmm. The express checkout, like, some libraries don't warrant it. This one is one that does warrant it. It's on that above line to get it.
Right. So, for example, like the additional staff station, that would be the internet station in the library service coordinator's office. So right now we don't have an office, but if we did, she would have a computer. So it would be for that.
Okay. So I'd be open to a motion.
Madam Chair, not on this item, but all four, as mm-hmm. I said earlier, mm-hmm. I'm just going to ask on all four of these items, what would happen if we wouldn't have a surplus? What would we do?
They would either come forward as capital requests from other capital budget lines or a future budget, department budget request. So I don't see any of these as frivolous. I think the only one that would be questionable is the local book return pilot. That was something that was proposed in the library development plan in October, with the assumption that if the board was willing to move forward with the pilot, the board would also be interested in funding it.
And I don't think I said frivolous. I think somebody else did.
Yeah,
but I was just curious, what would we do, again, in the budget? Mm-hmm. What do you do in the family or in the business
when you didn't budget for something, these are all very, I'm sure we all, I know I could come up with 4 or 5 additional budget surplus, but that's why you have a budget. And again, that's a discipline of sticking. This makes sense. I'm not opposed to any one of these four. I do remember one year that I led the effort to stop them, and we did stop them, but that was because of things that we said we shouldn't do, and then they were brought back. None of this is that. But again, I always have to remind myself that our my number one role on the board is fiduciary, and we have to make sure, and of course, I'm not even a commissioner. I mean, you guys really have to be sensitive about that because you've got to manage your budgets. But none, I'm not opposed to any of these. However, it's easy to say yes. It's hard to say no. But the hard no's get you, I want to see a library for another 50 years. I want to see the bookmobile come back again one day. I want to have enough money in the library to be there for it to be there. So that's my only point. I'm not opposed to it.
I kind of agree. You know, when you got a well-oiled machine and you got a little surplus, that's when you can do things like this. Yeah. You know, if you were really squinching, then you'd maybe look at one or two or whatever. But, you know, that's how we do it on the county stuff, is if we got something we can do for highway or whatever, you know.
Well, your point is maybe this would be an appropriate use of some of our reserves?
Well, or whatever's in the budget, yeah. I mean.
Well, Madam Chair, the book drop you said is damaged, right?
Yeah.
And so that's just an everyday replacement of something that's damaged. I mean, that's kind of outside of this realm. We would have had to replace it anyway.
Right.
And my question is, does insurance cover any of that? No?
No, we've had it long enough. I don't believe it does.
So it's not worth any. Okay. But I think, you know, when you look at the book drop at $4,000, we'd have to replace it anyway. So it's a part of doing business. So
and I'm thinking with our last agenda item that we just worked on, that we're looking at future and, you know, moving some of that surplus and acting differently. So when I weigh that all out with these requests, I'm okay with.
Yep. Yeah.
So I'm going to move us through this a little quickly. We only have about 7 minutes left with our meeting. So I will need a motion on this.
So I'll move for approval.
Okay, we've got a motion by Mr. Pop and a second by Mr. Potter. Any other quick discussion?
Go Kimball.
All in favor, please Kimball. Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion is carried. And thank you for the discussion. I don't mean to rush us, but I'm also kind of a stickler for agenda times. So, and our board is gathering out in the hallway. Item number 6.2, network penetration testing. Jay.
So, for the sake of time, this is something that is generally done by an outside organization. It's recommended in all kinds of security recommendations and best practices. Karen just received a newsletter or an article
from
the Magic Fund about you need to do a penetration test. So I went out and got a quote. Just one quote. It seemed reasonable. I'll get more quotes. I won't just, you know, take the one quote. Policy requires multiple quotes. So we will get the best bang for our buck. But I would ask for your approval, and I would take any questions.
Questions?
Oh, yeah. I understand what this is for, but do we not have any security control now?
We have many security controls. This is just one of... I have a book that we're going to be working through in the next strategic plan of things we're going to make sure that we're doing fully, review what we're doing now. So this is just one component of a comprehensive security plan.
So, Madam Chair, Jay, you're saying you're requesting $18,500, but you're going to get more bids. So are you asking up to $18,500?
Correct.
Okay.
So the request is up to knowing that we'll be getting more bids. Other questions? I'd be open to a motion.
I move.
Mr. Kircher? Is there a second?
Second, yeah.
Mr. Linsmeyer? Is a second. Any other questions?
I'm going to have to say no on this here when it comes up, because there's just not enough information here for me.
Madam Chair, I would prefer that we get the bids and then bring it back
right,
and look at
yep.
it. This is not the way to do business, that we get one bid and we go up to that amount.
And not only just the bid, Jay, I'm going to put our trust in you. Maybe this is the best one, and not necessarily we have to take the lowest bid, but at least you can vet each one who may bid. That's my opinion, Madam Chair. Okay.
So if you don't mind, one of the questions that was asked is if we didn't have this request now, what else would we do? And so one of the things we have done in the past, and so I'll probably bring this back, is a request from cash reserves to cover an expense like this. We've done that, and not for a few years, but that is something we've done in the past.
Okay. So we do have a motion to designate up to $18,500 from the 2019 budget surplus for this, and knowing that other bids are going to be obtained.
Well, Madam Chair, I understand what Ed and Randy are saying, but this kind of speeds up the process, and we have to have trust in our staff that they're not going to go out and take any bids higher. They're going to take lower bids, and I'm sure Karen isn't going to allow anything that isn't. I think we have to trust our staff.
About approving it with a cap.
Yeah.
Well, it is a cap of up to $18,500.
That's what I'm saying. We have to trust our staff to make the right decision. So. And it speeds up the process.
So we do have a motion and a second, so I'm going to ask.
Madam, I call who second?
Lee. Okay. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay.
Aye.
Nay.
No.
So let's see a show of hands, those that supported, aye.
It's four.
And four, nay.
Three.
4-3, the motion does pass. Moving on to the next item, item number 6.3, website technical support, also Jay.
So I covered it in the request. We have a brand new web developer. We have some important moves going on with upgrading our websites, and we're in the middle of some website upgrades that weren't fully completed when the previous web developer left. We could wait a year for him to be up to speed on the technology, or we can get him some help and some quality consulting, and that's what I'm asking for, is for him to get some consulting when he has a question to get it answered quickly so that he can move our web upgrade along. It's the underlying technology for our website is needing upgrades.
Okay, questions?
Can I add a perspective? A lot of the surplus that we're seeing this year is because we've held positions vacant for a significant amount of time, and in the case of communications and development, chosen not to fill it at all. And so this is effectively taking personnel dollars and using them to outsource for expertise. And that's one of the reasons we are requesting this money.
Be open to a motion.
So moved.
Mr. Potter moves. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Mr. Winsher, any other questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion's carried. Thanks, Jay. The last request, 6.4, Aaron.
I think this is the one that's going to go down in flames.
No one wants to be on the bottom of the list.
But it's the least amount.
I know.
The library development plan was approved by the board in October and included a recommendation for a pilot for a local book return alternative service. After reviewing this and talking things through with LST, putting a book drop in an underserved community would at least give those constituents access to library materials in some form or fashion. By piloting this, we would be able to find out if a community does in fact have a need for library service that isn't necessarily right next door to a library. So the cost, and the estimated cost is $3,000 to $4,000, because the book drops range in the size of the books that they can hold. So, and dependent upon the community that this would possibly go in, if approved, it would determine which book drop that we purchased.
And do you have an idea of which community ideas?
One community that's floated around is Rice.
Rice or Zimmerman.
Right. Well, Zimmerman's not on an existing route.
Oh, and not that's existing where, route.
Right.
Okay, that.
And that's where we, if we're going to pilot it with our funds, we felt like we needed to incorporate it into a current workflow.
An existing route. Okay.
Have we had communications, Madam Chair? Have we had it with communications with Rice?
No.
Not since we went to the city council meeting. That's why we're not saying we're putting it here, but it would be good to know we have the book drop so that we can start the conversation.
Do we have any other communities in need or in line?
The others that have talked to us in the last couple of years would be like St. Joe or Maple Lake, Montrose, Randall, maybe Holding Ford. Like those, it kind of depends on their interest too. We need to have the city monitoring the space, so we couldn't just put it there and say, hey, we're going to do this. We need this to be a true partnership, and the city would have to agree to it.
So if I may, Madam Chair, Karen, when you say test service, are we going to put the book drop here, and if it doesn't work, we'll move it and put it there,
or we just continue it?
Oh, okay.
It would be bolted down, but I mean, we could possibly move it. Yes. Unbolt it and move it to wherever.
Otherwise, it blows down the street like it did in Belgrade.
A floating book drop.
Okay.
We'll see that publicly, Aaron.
You're right. Strike that, please.
What is the wish of the board with this one?
Well, Madam Chair, I think it's something that we should experiment with. That's what we want to do, is expand our library usage. And
yeah.
Somebody, if there's a community out there that we think is can utilize it, I think we should do it, so I'll move.
Motion made by Mr. Kircher. Is there
and
a
I'm
going
to second it just because Aaron, I think, used reverse psychology
Mr.
on us
Mr.
here.
Any other questions or comments?
We sure think don't want to let them down.
Madam Chair, just to not belittle the point, I'm a fan of pilot projects because you can check it out. If it works, great. If not, hey, been there, done that, tried it, doesn't work.
Okay, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion has carried. Aaron, we proved you wrong
don't
with that one. Okay,
nope.
Item number seven. So it is time for the board meeting. So how would we like to handle this?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Yes.
7.1 and 2?
Correct, yes. Both together.
These are addressing open hours in Piers and St. Michael. There is a motion by Mr. Potter. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Mr. Pop. Discussion?
My only question, Madam Chair, is are we looking, or are you going to be looking at cutting hours in some of the branches that aren't meeting expectations at some point?
Not at this time.
Not at this time, but at any time.
That was part of the library development assessment. The next time we'll look at that will be in 3 years.
Oh.
That was part of last month's meeting.
Okay.
Okay. Other questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion has carried. Thank you. Our next meeting is January 21st, 2020, and we are adjourned.